This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Guys, welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. My boy, you see me just already stutter? That's what happens when you're in the presence
now roll it.
Of hotness.
Yeah.
Matt Rife, good to see you, playa.
Dude, good to see you, Matty, too,
I think, man. I think I first met you. Let's just get into that. I think I first saw some shirtless underwear ad you did, and I put that poster on my ceiling, and I was like, someday I want to meet this comic.
And when you were like 16, 17.
16, 17.
I was like 5.
Did you have those, by the way, as a kid? Like the posters of anybody like that you looked up to, or like, you know, hot girls
as corny,
or athletes? Who'd you have?
As corny as it is going to sound, I had two posters in my room. I had one of Dave Chappelle and I had one of Dane Cook.
Wow.
Yeah. And even to this day, all my friends have come
still
over.
Still have those posters?
Don't have those ones. Yeah. No. Now in my room, I have a vintage photo. It's a giant framed photo of the 1956 Oscars. I have some artwork of Matthew McConaughey, Dave Chappelle, and Patrick Swayze, some of my
Amazing.
Favorite entertainers.
Just interviewed McConaughey for my other podcast,
Dude,
with Chuck Liddell, 2 days ago.
That. That's so awesome.
Bonkers.
Man.
And guess
Congrats.
What?
Congrats.
Thank you. All I want to do is be. I've never met someone that afterwards I was just like, yeah, did I send him a DM on Instagram after? Yeah. Did he respond? Not yet. But dude, the pod was so great. He's such a true rare specimen where you're like, oh, how are you this dope at what you do,
mm-hmm.
and articulate, but like could roll with the punches and
chill, dude. Yeah. It seems like.
Yeah.
Did you read Green Lights?
I'm halfway through listening to it.
I did the audiobook as well. Because
yeah,
it's him narrating.
Well,
it, so
if
it makes
you didn't
it so
listen
much better.
To it, you would just do his voice in your head while you were
Absolutely.
Reading it.
Absolutely.
So McConaughey. So were there a handful of so Chappelle and Dane were the guys that made you mm-hmm. when you were a kid go, oh, I want to do that?
Yeah, Dane is the first comic I ever saw live. This is Whoa. When he was at like his absolute peak. My
right.
mom won tickets on the radio
awesome.
to see him in Nationwide Arena. I think it was just like be this number caller
oh, gotcha,
or something
okay.
like that. And I got
like,
home
do
from
a Dane
school.
Impression and your mom
oh,
like,
God, I hope
it.
Not.
She had the speak and spell bit over the phone.
Yeah. My mom's a smoker, so it yeah. kind of just sounded
yeah.
like her.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing.
She won the tickets and we went and saw him, and like something inside me just kind of like clicked. I started doing stand up like 7 months later or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And in that 7 months, what kind of prevented you from like starting the next week? Was it like needing to get a grasp on how do I even start this?
Yeah, because I had just turned 15, so like I didn't
dude.
Understand even really what it was. Like, even when I started out, I was doing a different 5 minutes every open mic because I didn't even know what a building a set was. I still thought comedy was just people going up there and being funny. So I had no reference of how to even begin, and I figured out the Columbus Funny Bone, which you've played.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great club. I found that was the closest club to me. It was about an hour away. And I emailed Dave Stroop.
Yeah.
And
wow.
as a kid, I was like, hey, man, I know I'm not 18 or 21, but like if I have a parent or something with me, I'd love to come try this out. And any club owner in their right mind would have been like, no. Like,
yeah.
For what?
What value are you adding to my club?
Exactly.
No one's coming out to see a 15-year-old. Yeah, to
exactly.
risk it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was just like, yeah, sure, come on by. And he let me, and it just became like an extracurricular thing I was doing for fun.
So you'd go there how many times a month?
Their open mic was every Wednesday. So I would go, it was like 7:30 on
Mom
Wednesdays.
Mom would take you every Wednesday?
I was living with my grandpa at the time, but yeah, he would take me.
What a gangster,
dude. And it was like, they were bringer shows.
Yeah.
Like every person had to bring five people or sell five tickets. So what my grandpa would do is he would buy five tickets to make it seem like I brought five
dude,
people.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
I know.
This is going to, by the way,
guy.
This is your, when you go on The View or some show where women will already be swooning. That's the story.
Oh, and then I'll tell the story about how I bought him 2 pocket pussies in a row for Christmas.
To say thank you?
Yeah. Well, he broke the first one, so I had to get him a second one.
From his cock?
I assume so.
Or just like dropped it and stepped on an
accident. I like to think it's the
first
one.
You didn't ask, did you?
No, I didn't really want to know.
I broke my pocket pussy. Well, cool. Let's just leave it at that.
It was scary because the second one had a... I got him like a souped up one. One where it had like the end of it was like a suction cup to where you could like put it to a surface. And I was like, yo, if I come home for Christmas and there's drywall missing. Thanks for having me, Adam.
Dude, that's been Matt Rife at Matt Rife on Twitter. By the way, I love that there's different tiers of the pocket pussy. Like you definitely were like, let me get him the basic one and then let me get him the
The basic one
package.
was not enough. He told verbatim, he said, I broke its neck, which made it so much more disturbing.
God,
I was
Grandpa.
Like, you gave it a body part.
Dude.
It was disgusting.
No thanks,
dude.
Table for one. Well, that's a sweet, what's your grandpa's name?
Steve.
Still with us?
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow.
He's my guy.
So you got to get him out for the special.
I'm going to fly him out. He doesn't know that yet. And he doesn't even know what a podcast is.
Okay,
so he
great. I was
going to
say, what if, by the way, he was a diehard About Last Night fan and like.
It wouldn't surprise me, dude. He's been catching up super fast.
Oh, really?
I just got him his first iPhone for Christmas last year.
Sweet.
He refused. He had a flip phone forever. He wouldn't get an iPhone.
People are just so hell bent on not. Coming into the 21st century.
He's so stubborn. He thought iPhones were making everybody gay.
What a great take.
Chronologically, he was like, think about it. Everybody started being gay around the time iPhone came out, which if you look into it, it does kind of match
up. Give an iPhone user a pocket pussy. Watch them throw it right in the trash because they're just going to be looking for cock and balls on their iPhone screensavers. You're like, Grandpa.
Dude, now, like, the only way to like one up that next Christmas is like, I have to get him like VR goggles for the porn that he can watch now.
Oh, my God. You have to.
Dude, that house
is going to
be sticky.
Did you talk about this in
your act at all? No.
So funny, dude. Are you kidding me?
That's
so real and that's so. Because also, dude, you did what I'm sure you love too in comedy movies, comedy bits. Like, if you can get a decent amount of heart and then, like, kind of, you know, get a right hook with some laughs right after, dude.
Because
you sucked me in when you were just like, man, he drove me every Wednesday. And then right after, dude, you were like, so I thanked him with a pocket pussy, like, for Christmas? Dude, that is so funny, man.
It's the least I could do. The amount of sex stand-up has got me wouldn't have happened.
Hilarious.
Had he not taken me.
So. Wait, okay, so he takes you every Wednesday, and you're doing a new 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And are you, like, running bits with him on the ride over? Are you talking with him? Or is he just like...
No,
I'm supporting my grandson.
Yeah, just that he's incredibly introverted. My whole family is like, I'm nothing like my family. My grandpa's the funniest one, I suppose. Like
cool.
I probably got into comedy because I would go stay at him every weekend when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So he would show me like Adam Sandler films, Rob Schneider, David Spade. I think I had seen Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton when I was like 8.
Awesome.
Like,
by the way, I'm a big advocate of that. I showed my brothers when they were 8 and 9, Family Guy, sent them all the DVDs.
Aww.
And to this day, I firmly believe their sensibilities are what they are because of that. Because they just got, started to be just aware of like, that type of comedy and like it's definitely shaped them. So that's dope that he did that.
Totally. I think that's what made me have an appreciation for comedy in general, whether it be comedic films or stand up in general. But my entire family is like, they're not funny. They're not extroverted.
Wow.
Like they don't conversate well. Like I wouldn't even be able to have this conversation with anybody in my family.
Wow.
They're very unlike me.
So where would you get any sort of riffing and joking at school or
just friends? Yeah, I was like class clown, of course.
By the way, I was the same way. Family didn't even see that my mom was funny until probably
the
last 15 years when I started doing stand up and started to see that she was a person and not a parent, and started to be like, oh, that's where I got the chops from. But same thing, man. I'd never, because I assume for most comics, because I would hear a lot of people being like, oh yeah, I was like, I'd put on shows at Thanksgiving for my family, right? And I was like, man, that was not me. It was either at school or at a friend's house with their parents. I'd try to make them laugh. But
I
almost felt weird doing it at home. I was like, right? Like embarrassed
100%. Yeah, my household was not the one to try to make laugh. I spent so much time in detention for
oh,
making
really?
Jokes. Oh,
what type
yeah.
of shit would you do for class clown?
Like one thing was like my math teacher in high school, algebra teacher, whatever. You were only allowed to use the bathroom like like five times a per year. Quarter or some like that. For right? Sure. Like you got bathroom passes.
Well, it was so obvious for the kids that were like, just like, skipping I got to shit again. You're like, yeah, okay, man.
So I had used up all of mine like week two, right? And I had glasses at the time. This is when I just got glasses and she wouldn't let me go use the restroom and I really had to go for real. And I was like, for real. And I got up and I started like kicking stuff around on the ground. And she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I dropped my contact if I could really go to the bathroom to like rinse my eye out.
Whoa.
And I'm wearing glasses the entire time. Hilarious. Like stupid
she
stuff.
Can't pick up on that.
Like yes, yeah, just yeah. stupid stuff like that.
Would you do voices? Would you do like, you know, impersonate people from movies? You know, that was always popular. Some kids would just kind of get their chuckles in by doing like an Austin Powers or a
No, I was never really an impressionist or character person. I was like I guess I've never really thought about this, but I guess it was a lot of like, I was kind of punching up what the teacher would be talking about. Like, teacher would say something about something that happened in history or whatever, and I'd be like, like something to go along with what she was saying. Like, very disruptive to the class.
Wow.
Which is
and
now.
And get laughs.
Yeah, and get laughs. Like, the crowd, the students.
Dude,
wow, that's
no,
how
that's
stand up I am.
That's not a slip up, by the way. That's definitely how, dude, I'm same fucking way, man.
Really?
You view that. I mean, you're not thinking of it in terms at the time that it is an audience, but it is. I
but
mean,
you
it's
get
like,
that rush. You're 1,000%. Like, that good feeling of making my entire class erupt in laughter
Never
is way
that.
Better than the getting scolded by my teacher in the hallway.
Totally. And it's also worth it.
Yeah.
Like, a full classroom. By the way, that's so powerful. And I think what's crazy is, and why, you know, we end up separating from that, because there are other funny kids I'm sure you knew that were. But it's why not every kid has the audacity or fearlessness to take risks to try to make the whole class laugh, knowing that there's ramifications.
Yeah, and I don't know. I still don't know why or how I got the confidence to do that. Because I, even to this day, if I go to like a party or an event or something like that, I'm not outspoken. I don't want to be center of attention. Really? I feel like a lot of comics are actually kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like other than when it's your time to perform, like you don't really want to like talk to people. You don't really want the expectations of having to perform.
You're a pretty social guy though, right?
Or when I have to be, or just when I want to be. But it's not like I'm not one of those comedians who just like doesn't have an off switch. You know what I mean? My off switch, I'm usually off,
right.
I feel like.
Right.
Except just when it's the right occasion, which apparently is middle of education.
Yeah. Hair loss. I'm not dealing with it yet, but man, do I have too many buddies in their 20s and 30s, and even their 40s, who are losing their frickin' hair. You gotta do something about it, right? You don't want to be walking through life without hair, because having hair is cooler than not having hair. Who said that? Guys with hair. I want to talk about a company that gives you easier access to hair loss treatment, prescription medication delivered to your home, online doctor consultations, etc. I'm talking about Keeps. What does Keeps do? Well, they offer a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't even have to leave your home. Which is great because you don't want to go to some store or pharmacy and talk to someone who you don't even know about it. That's embarrassing. It's a low-cost treatment. They just start at $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions, discreet packaging, and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. Look, prevention is key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the time they're 35. More than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness. And look, there's only 2 FDA-approved medications that prevent hair loss. Keeps offers both. So if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss and start living a better, sweeter life, go to Keeps.com, that's Keeps.com/lastnight to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's Keeps.com/lastnight to get your first month free, Keeps.com/lastnight. Start getting that hair back, baby, in the places that matter most. What was the moment where you go, okay, I think I'm now going to, like how many open mics or bringer shows did you do before, like did Stroop finally say something to you? Like did he ever give you any sort of, you know, piece of confidence?
So the things I did when I was early on in my career are like so outrageous to even think about doing today. But like when I started stand up, Twitter had like just kind of popped off, right?
Wow, okay.
To where not everybody was on it. So everybody was incredibly accessible. So when I was, I think I just turned 16. I've been doing stand-up for, I've done it maybe maybe 20 times, right. really. D.L. Hughley was coming to the Funny Bone, uh-huh. and I was a massive Soul Plane fan. By the way, that's all I knew him from. It's he was so the bathroom attendant in Soul Plane.
So funny, dude.
And I reached out to him, and I had heard that, like, after open mics, the next step is, like, guest sets, and then hosting the feature, then headlining.
Cool.
So I reached out to him on Twitter at DM'd him, like, hey, man, I'm a massive fan. You're coming to my city. Like, could I do a guest spot on your show? And he was like, again, didn't have to, shouldn't have, but was like, sure, why not? Go by and show up, and he's like, fuck, you're really 16. I thought you were like somebody 25 just trying to like get some stage time or whatever.
Whoa.
Did the show, went great. He invited me to stay the entire weekend. And
then
I did the same thing with Finesse Mitchell, who's still a very good friend of mine.
That's awesome.
Eric Griffin, Ralphie May, who was a great friend until he passed, obviously. Yeah, all of those guys. Within 2 years of doing stand-up, I was like already in with these guys from just asking.
That is fully subscribe, always have to, you don't ask, you don't get.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's, I think, levels to that because, you know, look, it's not like you hadn't done it at all. It's not like you were asking to feature. Like, it's like asking within reason, recognizing like what, you know, you can ask for.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if you're going to, if you DM Chappelle, like, can I go on the road with you?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not the right ask. Well, at that time, but...
Well, since you bring up Chappelle, this is the difference between me at 16 and me now, and it's hard to describe what the difference exactly is, but I didn't have the courage to do it, even though I feel like I definitely... Maybe I should have done it, but I didn't have the balls to do it. When he was working out his SNL monologue recently in Atlanta, that's my old manager's comedy club, so I was in Alabama doing shows.
Which one?
The Atlanta Comedy Theater, okay. Garrett Abdo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was in Huntsville Stand Up Live there that weekend, and he was like, yo, Chappelle's staying a whole week here. And I was like, cancel my flight back to LA. And I drove to Atlanta and I stayed all week to see his show. And I saw like six of his shows in a row. And like at like show four, I could see it was just one opener who was like doing okay. And then it was Dave. So after like show number four, Gary was like, do you want to meet him? And I've always wanted to. Never met him. Favorite comic.
Me too.
And I'd always just wanted to say, like, thank you. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for being such an inspiration
and
to me.
As long as he's done it. Like, what's so crazy, Matt, is like, when I was in college, when Chappelle's show popped, I'm sure you loved Chappelle's show too, right?
Yeah.
Like, and stand-up wise is when he really popped. Mm-hmm. He'd been doing it, obviously, at 15 as well, right? Mm-hmm. Which is probably another reason why you're kind of connected to him on that level, right?
Yeah, he and Ralphie are like two of the only ones I know who started before me.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
So to be doing it, at least like when I would go, I drove to Vegas flew to Seattle, like San Diego, a bunch of places to see him, with Chappelle's show. And then at the store, he did a show. First time I went to the Comedy Store was the main room my sophomore year, 2003. And I remember like David
Just as an audience member.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We sat like four rows away in the main room. And I want to say Louis opened. Or did a guest set, and then I wish I could remember who else, but like Pauly was there and was filming a little documentary, and David Schwimmer was there, and it was like star studded.
Yeah.
And it was so great. And it was, and so what is crazy, and just to piggyback on our, you know, appreciation for his commitment to the craft, it's like still, man, like, I mean, dude, what is it? Three specials in the last 5 years? I mean,
at least,
still so prolific with his material.
Mm-hmm. Always funny. He's always funny. Always has a message.
Yes.
Always has a perspective that's unique, but oddly speaks to the masses.
Yeah. And it's totally to be a true like man of the people and to be a voice of like, it's always, I feel like, important to have somebody that really is like so silly like he is, which is what I love about his comedy, is that he can be really. Like, I went out to the Chappelle camp this summer. And
I saw that. Oh, yeah, dude, amazing. So jealous.
And we're sitting in the back one point, and John Mayer's playing, and he's just serenading. All the girls are swooning.
Oh.
And Chappelle's looking, and we're both just looking, and then he looks over at me, and he just goes, and I just smile. I was like, it's going to be tough to follow. And he goes, man, he goes, yeah, you're kidding. And he goes, pussy jokes don't fail me now. And it was just like such a funny thing to say, like just being like, I'm such a fucking, like that's what I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. But it was, you know, just so, and by the way, so cool. Couldn't have been more generous. Like, even in the hangs that we had that were a little more secluded, like, saw that I was, you know, kind of not as familiar with everybody, and and would come up and just chum me up, dude.
Yep.
And I was out there when I got the Young Rock job, and he came up and gave me a big hug because I my buddy who's his tour manager, and he told Dave, and I was just like, dude, I think it was a good vibes of the weekend or whatever. And he was, but I was like, dude, you're just so nice.
He's very gentle and so down to earth. Yeah, man. For somebody who doesn't have to be.
Totally.
He'd have that kind of wiggle room with me if he wasn't. Totally. I'd be like, well, I get it. You know, there's a lot going on in here.
So were you nervous to then meet him? Were you almost absolutely. Like, I don't want to meet my hero? Because that definitely has crossed my mind sometimes.
Kind of. It's like him and, like, I don't know, there's maybe two other people ever that I would be like nervous to meet anymore. And, and I was, but I got a chance to meet him, shook his hand, and Gary introduced me to him, and I was able to thank him, and he was just like, stay true to the art and it'll be true to you. Which, you know, he could have gave me like $1,000, would have been better, but it's fine. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, thanks for giving me this shit I have to think about for the next 10 years.
Oh my God.
But what I was saying to lead up to that is, like, I wanted to so badly ask, can I do 5 minutes to open your show before your opening act? Yes. Because I feel, and
oh, you didn't.
I didn't. But purely ego wise, I was like, I feel like my stand up is at the point now where this is probably conceited to say, but it's like it's something I think he would enjoy. I feel like stylistically, some of the stuff I'm doing now, like, I think he would laugh at, and that could have been life changing. Maybe he asked me to do some other shows with him. I've heard of him doing that for people.
Totally.
Maybe he hates it, and maybe he thinks, you know, you need to get better at it.
Totally.
But I didn't have the nerve to ask.
Because that's also a, and you didn't.
At 16, I would have. I wouldn't have hesitated.
Yeah. Well, look, I think our instincts and our gut are our most true sign of right and wrong. And you know innately, right, you get that feeling of what you, I mean, look, sometimes I think it is, you know, important to kind of power through some of those things and really kind of reason with what your gut instinct is. But like, I don't know, man. The fact that you didn't is not, I think, and I don't know what the reason fully was, and maybe you figure out after, as far as like, oh, I'll bump into him again, or I want him to ask me.
That's kind of what it feels like. Because, like, he didn't, and not that I deserve this, not that I expected this, but, like, it's not like he was inquisitive about me. It's not like he had heard of me before. And, like, I'm pretty in the scene. So, like, there was a part of me that's like, I would kind of want him to be like, you want to do five? I've seen what you can do. Do you want to do it on my show?
And even
show?
If he hadn't seen, like, maybe there's so just a better vibe and whatever. Because there's something to be said about that. Like we said, you know, you don't ask, you don't get. But sometimes it's cool when it's like they ask and then you get.
Exactly.
And there is something to be said for people like putting the first hand out. And and you were meeting him and you knew you were a comic. And like, I think it's smart that you like felt it out and like probably gave maybe a, there was probably a moment where you were like, all right, maybe he'll offer. And if he doesn't, then maybe that's how, then it's almost weirder if then you ask and then you put him on the spot.
Exactly.
And then he says yes because of, but then also, then there's the play out of like, maybe then that's, he's like, oh, fuck. And then he watches and then you crush and then he's like, oh, shit, maybe I misjudged him.
But then there's also the scenario of he doesn't watch at all. And then I was just the guy who asked him for something as soon as he met him.
1,000%.
And I can't, I'm very bad at asking people for things, for any kind of help in any situation. Thing, I know. It's just, I'm a pretty independent person.
Yeah.
If I do ask for help, I really do fucking need it. But and people like that, they get asked for things. Everybody who meets them wants something from them.
Well, that's why it's cool that you did. Hey, guys. Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, available worldwide. And again, there's four ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more, unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable. All right, it's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code AboutLastNight. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and get 10% off your first month with promo code AboutLastNight. And now, back to the episode. You're in a place now too, and I think it's cool that you even had enough wherewithal to sit back and not, you know, overplay the situation, but then also trust in yourself and go like, I know that I would go out there and crush and do my thing. Because that's a good feeling. Because you've been doing it now how long?
10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. I think when I did meet you, I think it was I remember a specific time of might have been like maybe 5 or 6 times in knowing you at the Laugh Factory. And you were just, I don't know why I remember this so vividly, dude, because I just remember when I met you, first of all, I liked your energy and like knowing a little bit, I think, about talking, and you were like wide-eyed, and you like introduced yourself to me and were just and said some complimentary things, and then just seeing a young comic and like somebody that was like excited is always awesome. And then I think you said something about, I think this was maybe it was actually a handful of times after or a year later into you doing it or being in LA, and the substance of the conversation was about how you may have just moved to LA and didn't have a job. And I think I was like, you should get a job, but you were surviving on road work. And I was like, and I think I remember vividly being like, just, you know, from my experience of like having a job because it was going to open you up to like meeting more people and getting more experiences that can be, you know, channeled into material and right. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but I took that advice not long after. And
you walked out and were like, fuck you, old man. And I was like, I think he appreciates it.
Well, then rent was due. And I was like, well, maybe that old man was on to
something. Hilarious.
And I went to Ralph's to get groceries and wasn't applying for a job or anything. And this this older woman, probably like late 50s, early 60s, was working there, manager or something like that. And she just goes, you want a job here? And I was like,
not that same night.
No, this was maybe a week, maybe 2-3 weeks after, but it was relatively recently after. And I was like, I do need money, and like when I'm not on the road, I do have nothing to do here. Like my nights each night are going to the comedy clubs and just showing face and just being around in the community. But like I don't do anything all day. So I was like, why not? It's a couple blocks from my house. So she was like, here, fill out all this paperwork and we'll get your training. I was gonna be a bag boy.
Yeah.
So they're like, you have training in like 2 weeks or something like that. And 3 days before I was supposed to start my training, I booked Wild Now, so I didn't have to do the job. Crazy.
Dude, but you know what? That's awesome. And that's a just prime example of like the active mindset that you need out here to like, and things beget things, and just like just trying to move the needle in, you know, on and off stage. Like you even just trying to do that, the universe almost like recognized, and I'm not super spiritual, but it was like, you know, picking up on, all right, cool. He's now committed to try to like support the grind or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then That's awesome, dude.
But it took me, it's honestly been within the past 3 years for me to really understand what you meant about it opening you up to new things.
Yeah.
Because I was taking it from a perspective of like, not that you meant it this way, but like feature road work is like, what do you make, $400 a weekend?
Totally.
But if you can, without merch, which pushing merch as a feature is always hard.
Right.
And often embarrassing.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, if I have the money for a little bit of freedom, maybe I'll be a little bit stressed out. But within the past couple, like 3 years, I'd say, I've really understood what it meant to, like, you do have to go meet people. You have to experience things in order to have perspective on them and talk about them.
Yeah.
And funny stuff just kind of happens.
Totally do.
When you're out there, if you're in your house, nothing's going to happen.
Dude, my closer is from my bag boy days at Albertsons right now.
Really?
I did that all through high school. And it was also really just seeing, you know, you just getting here and wanting to, you know, finding that balance too, mm-hmm. of like stuff that's not, because I could see how gung-ho you were, which was awesome, and didn't want to take away from that. And I also could pick up that you were like, well, I think comedy's going to support, because there is something cool about just being like, comedy's going to support everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a place to where I'm making enough to get by.
Yeah.
So I don't need to get a day job. But there's, yeah, just so much you get from, whether it's like extra, you know, financial stability, but really like letting your brain take a day off from thinking of the grind and mm-hmm. being a person and like being open to that stuff.
Yeah. And it's just weird the way you can call it life. You can call it the universe, whatever it is. Every time since I've been out here for 8 years, there's like usually like every other year, maybe every 3 years, there's a downslope. You know, there's heated
yeah.
moments where you're killing it and money is no issue whatsoever. And
yeah.
then there's downslopes where you can't get any work at all.
Yeah.
And every time I have gotten to like, this is my last month's rent. Like, I seriously have no idea what I'm going to have to do. Like, this was end of 2018, around Christmas time, I had no money. Mm-hmm. I was looking into getting my contractor's license to start doing construction. And like January of 2019, Dane hits me up to go on tour with him. So I was like, man, work just out of
great
nowhere.
Time,
that has
yeah.
happened 4 or 5 times since I've been out here. It's wow. crazy. It's like fate, destiny. They both sound incredibly corny, but it's like almost every time that I'm like ready to throw in the towel, being like, you know what, maybe it's just not supposed to happen, something
some
kind of
yeah.
comes up that you're like,
yeah.
I get another chance.
Yeah,
awesome. And each time you take it, let the money you do make on those hot streaks, you take it less and less for granted.
Totally. Is there so when you got out here, that was, you were how old? 18?
17. Yeah, I graduated high school early and came out here.
Wow.
Yeah, I stayed on Eric Griffin's couch for like a month while
Whoa.
I looked for a place.
And so, folks, grandpa were in full support?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody in my family's ever gone to college, so like there was no pressure.
Right.
I had that manager, Gary, when I was 16. He found me on the internet. That's another long story for another podcast.
Oh, wow.
But like I was already touring by the time I was 16, turning 17. I was like the whole Southeast market, Tennessee, Alabama,
right.
Florida, Georgia, all that stuff, the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Like missed both my proms to go do shows. So like
wow.
I already kind of knew this is what I wanted to do. I was making a little bit of money.
Yep.
I was enjoying it. I was like, maybe there's a career path here.
Yeah.
And so there was no pressure to go to college. Like, of course, my mom was nervous, but it's like, if you love doing it, what's the alternative? Stay in this exact hometown that everybody stays in and just
yeah.
be miserable.
You know, a lot of people that do that.
Oh yeah, dude.
So you knew early
everybody
on.
I
yeah.
know. Yeah. Nobody leaves this town. It's
wow.
embarrassing.
So people are freaking out. The fact that you even left and now have had success, I mean, is that just, are you just a fucking hero of the hometown?
Oh, I was a hero when I left. They were like, he's getting out of here. I can't
oh
do it. I lived in LA for like
God.
6 months, came back to visit,
like,
and they were like, you made it.
His couch, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even that's a credit.
Oh, yeah. I'm planning on, they don't know this yet, but I want to go back because it's only 2 years away. I want to go back for my, for the 10-year reunion at my
oh, yeah.
high school, and I want to film a like, it's not really a special because it's not really material, but I want to do like a big event in the high school auditorium there.
Will you do a show?
Yeah, I want to do a show where I just kind of like, I just talk about
cool.
how what high school was like there and bringing
cool,
up old
man.
Stories and roasting
Whoa.
The town and all that kind of stuff. I think it'd be really fun.
That's real cool. I mean, that's so inside baseball, but I
it's
think
it's incredibly inside.
But also like you definitely just piqued my interest in as far as watching it, because if you can also like mix in maybe like, I don't know, with like seeing you talking to some of these people like in between, or maybe like talking head interviews from some of the people about you,
mm-hmm.
right? Like to kind of fill it out.
Oh, totally.
But also everyone's got, like even if you're doing jokes about the principal or PE teacher mm-hmm. or whatever, like we all have teachers and people that like are going to be some version of what you're talking about that
oh,
you can relate to.
Absolutely. And there's a bit of an ego boost in it, because I high school was not good to me.
Oh, really?
At all. So it's a flattering fuck you of like, I'm past it. I'm able to make fun of it and get through it humorously, but like this wasn't a good time.
Were you
teased? I wanted to be, oh dude. And I don't like playing this card because I don't like people who ask for sympathy. I want nobody to fucking feel sorry for me. I'm doing fine. But like, yeah, I was bullied like fucking crazy.
Well, for what?
I was just like class clown, scrawny, like not in with the, I played sports, but like I wasn't one of the jocks. I also wasn't one of like the weird loser kids. So like I was just, I don't know, I was probably easy bait, I suppose, yeah. Which I think is where a lot of people kind of develop their humor. You learn to deflect with it.
Of course.
Somebody says something about like, oh, you got a little dick, you kind of, rather than be like, oh no, and like you're so embarrassed.
Well, you might
like,
at first, but then it's like, yeah, the third time they say that, you're like, I can't just keep taking this.
Exactly. You can jokingly embrace it and be like, ah, I know, but it's cute though.
Yeah, your mom likes it.
Like
yeah.
That. Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Life, it can get crazy. Ups and downs, highs and lows, up, down, left, right, select, start, A, B. Who hasn't been there? You're standing in the wine aisle like a dum-dum, staring at the shelves like, meh, do I want a California red or maybe one from Oregon, something organic. Maybe just one with a nice label that I could impress a lady of the night with. Thankfully, there's First Leaf, a better way to discover wine at a fraction of the price that you'll find in a store. Sounds like a better deal. That's because it is, Grandpa. First Leaf is a fully customizable wine club. Yep, that's right. You can be a part of a club, finally, that sends curated boxes of wine that are perfect for your taste buds. And they have more award-winning wine than anyone else. So you're going to be drinking the best of the best with the best of the best. With First Leaf, there's no guesswork, no misguided recommendations from an employee who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, and no frustration on your part. Each wine shipment is entirely customized to your unique palate and preferences. Unlike those big box wine memberships, First Leaf uses a one-of-a-kind algorithm and your feedback to curate future wine recommendations, which is spot on with their specifications, the breakdown. That way you're drinking only what you dig and not what you don't dig. Does that make sense? The more wine you taste and review, the better your shipments will get. First Leaf also works directly with the world's best winemakers to not only find the best wines available for you, but to pass the savings on to you, saving you up to 60% off retail. That's the advantage of not going to the store when you get that shit sent right to you. It's cheaper. We've been using First Leaf for a while now, and guess what? It's the shit, because I don't know anything about wine. I'm like you guys. I'm like, I like red better than white. It's like, cool, you picked a color, dum-dum. How about an actual preference? So First Leaf helps to break it down, find the taste we like, whether it's, you know, slow and smooth or dry and oaky, or just, you know, having a sweet dessert wine that's got the aftertaste you're looking for. That's what First Leaf does. They break down your tastes and make sure that it's the drink for you. Save time, money, and stress with First Leaf, the wine club designed with you in mind. Join today, and guess what? I can't believe I'm reading this. You're going to get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. That's crazy. 6 dope, expensive bottles of wine for $29.95. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/ALN, name of the podcast, and that's going to be 6 bottles of wine coming your way for $29.95 plus free shipping. All you got to do, go to tryfirstleaf.com/ALN for 6 free bottles of wine and start living the sweet life, Zach and Cody style, with the best wine the world has to offer.
This is a fun one to tell. Yeah. My biology teacher in 10th grade, I was fucking around in class or whatever, and in front of the entire class, she yelled at me from across the room and was like, Matt Reif, stop fucking around in class. Cursed in front of everybody. It's like,
whoa.
Stop fucking around in class. If you don't pay attention and you don't get good grades, you're going to fuck around, not go to college, and you're going to work at McDonald's for the rest of your life. And the whole class,
Damn. In
a typical high school fashion, ooh,
McDonald's, and McDonald's fucking sucks.
And I hit her back with, I was like, well, her name is Miss Bradley. I was like, well, Miss Bradley, if I work at McDonald's for the rest of my life, I'm eventually going to work my way up the chain of management, and I'll make way more than a teacher's salary.
Shut the fuck
dude,
up,
dude. I got in school suspension for 2 weeks.
Of course you did. Holy shit, man.
So that would be a fun one to tell back home.
You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was.
What did she do?
Time.
Was she just like went cold faced? Like,
couldn't oh, just stone cold principal's office now.
Yeah. I'm not gonna take that bullshit from you.
Yeah, of
course.
Holy
shit!
I heard she doesn't work there anymore, so that kind of sucks.
That's well, man, I didn't know that. I mean, I assume for anyone who's doing this, there is like, there's a hole that we're looking to fill. You know what I'm saying? So it's like whether and for the so not. You know, feeling like maybe you didn't have I'm sure you had buds, right?
Yeah, of
like,
course.
But like getting teased and not being fully like accepted, which, you know, everybody feels to a certain extent. But, you know, it's I think why when we start getting into this, you're just looking for like that. I mean, to be, you know,
the
looking
embrace,
for validation from strangers is such a crazy, thing. But I think it's also met with, at least for me, in like getting teased. It's so funny, scrawny kid, fat kid. Like, it's just those ends of the spectrums.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, fuck, dude, if like you were like 10 pounds heavier and mm-hmm. I was 10 pounds lighter, maybe we would have fucking, you know, skated through. But
that's a hard image for me to paint also as well, because I look the way I do now.
Yeah.
So, and I'm trying to figure out the perfect way to talk about it in my set now, because whenever I talk about
that, because that's what happened and that's what contributed
but nobody
to who
believes
you are.
Me.
Right. I hear
it's
you.
Crazy. If you go down to the beginning of my Instagram, you'll be like, this is a different human
being.
Why do
I feel bad for this guy? Right.
Exactly. Nobody feels bad for me now.
So you've strayed away from any material that you think is, because you don't think people are going to feel bad for you.
No, I don't. I've learned not to stray away from it because there's, well, that's not, I don't want to word it like that because I don't want anybody to feel bad for me.
Right.
This isn't good, but I'm working on having more empathy and sympathy because everybody's dealing with shit.
Yep.
Why the fuck would I ask you to feel sorry for the things I've dealt with in my life when you've probably had just as bad or worse shit?
Right.
Everybody's got their thing. Yeah. I never want anybody to feel sorry for me.
But there's a way to talk about it. To show how it shaped you, right?
I only talk about it to show exactly that. It's like, well, I'm not like, my life isn't just like easy. I don't just come from being like a privileged, good looking white kid.
Yeah.
Like it hasn't always been like that. So I want to talk about it in that context.
Yep.
It's not like, oh, please feel sorry for me because like I don't want that.
And there's probably like great, I mean, there's just, I don't know, so many bits even of just like the things, you know, I don't know if there's even like similarities of the things you dealt with being like a scrawny kid that was teased with girls that you still deal with now, or like, you know, the same things that pop up, or is it just like a full confident shift? Like
incredibly.
Yeah.
I didn't lose my virginity until like up 2 months before I moved. But like 2 months before I moved to LA.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Wait, was that a planned move where you're like, I can't go to LA?
No, I just didn't. I had never had a girlfriend until 2 months before I moved to LA.
How come?
Just wasn't interested.
Wasn't looking.
I didn't look good. I was like boned, skinny. I just had no confidence. I was funny, but like that. I mean, that'll get you so far.
Yeah.
As a kid, like most of the kids you grow in high school with, you got beards and shit.
Yeah.
I think I had like one kiss and a hand job. Between the ages of like 14 and 17 and a half.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was not great.
Which is something. That's something to like hang your hat on and be like, but yeah, going to Hollywood.
Yeah, but then puberty starts to set in. You start to get funny. You start to get some notoriety and be on television. And all of a sudden you're granted all this opportunity, whoa, I suppose.
Yeah,
and it is a massive confidence.
You still keep in touch with a girl?
You know what's funny? We don't, but next time I go home, I've thought about hitting her up to just be like, let's just grab lunch. Because it was like the typical high school romance. We're like, are we going to get married? Like,
really?
So in love with each other.
Oh, wow.
And like, it'd be nice to go back and be like, okay, can I still see what I would have saw then? Like,
totally.
Can I still understand where I was coming from?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, yeah, that stuff is always... So she doesn't have a family and like married and all
I
that?
I think I looked at her Facebook like 3 or 4 years ago and she had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
But other than that, not that I know of. I think it'd be nice to catch up. Like, I did care about her. There was no problem in the relationship or with her other than like I was wildly insecure in a long distance relationship at 17.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
So then you get to LA. All right. So you're crashing with Eric Griffin.
Uh-huh.
And then you're just... what, balls to the wall with comedy and trying to just make this?
Yeah, man. Life. I knew enough people in the scene from doing the guest spots. And
which is huge, by the way, because coming here at all is I have so much respect for anybody that comes here to just immerse yourself in it because it is so daunting and overwhelming. And well, even knowing some people is helpful, but you're still like by yourself out here, right?
Yeah, but it's like it's the ignorance is kind of bliss. You know what I mean? You're naive to how crazy it is. Anytime somebody tells me that, thank you. It's a very sweet compliment. Yeah. But it's like, at that age, I had no idea. Yeah. I was just like, well, this is the equivalent to me going to college, right? It's just probably overwhelming and scary and you don't know what you want to do.
Like, what I want to do is there, so I go there. What's the big deal?
Exactly. Right? Like, it just seemed like the logical thing to do.
It's just another place with different people and like more opportunities. What's hard about that? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I knew enough people that were like, I would hang out at the Laugh Factory primarily, that it became...
Charlemagne. What?
Charlemagne.
Oh, okay. What's he doing?
He called TikTok TED Talk.
TED Talk?
He called TikTok Tech Talk.
Heck, that's the oldest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Hilarious.
So back to my life story.
Yeah.
No, I just knew enough people, and the Laugh Factory was the home club. It's where most of the people I knew were getting spots consistently, so yep. I would go hang out there. And I wasn't 18 yet, so Jamie used to make me wait in that lobby area, which is where you and I would talk. Yep. And I'd have to watch through like the little window thing.
Oh, because he wouldn't let you in.
Wouldn't let me in. I either had to be upstairs in the lobby, in like the VIP area, wow. or like not in the showroom, or outside by the ticket booth. But most of the people hung out around the ticket booth, so I hung out there. And it just became, you just had to wait for your opportunity for somebody to be late or cancel. And then somebody all at the same time, somebody there who knows you and likes you, like say Eric, to vouch and be like, throw Matt up for five. It's 5 minutes.
So that would start happening.
Yeah, it would just happen little by little. And then managers there at the time would, and I mean, they've been through so many.
Yeah.
But they would kind of take note. And, you know, if you're a nice enough person and charming and get along with everybody.
Yeah,
and
it's do like, your thing it's on stage. Happen.
Yeah,
totally.
You're hanging out there more. Maybe Jamie's not there and they need somebody to fill up in five. Like, well, Matt's here, throw him on. And it just became slow.
And you started hosting
process.
There a lot too, right?
And hosting, in, yeah.
Which is a great, was a great move on your part because I did that for certain shows just when I was getting going, just to get stage time.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing I'm like, when Comedy Juice was the big show.
Yeah.
And I knew the guy that was running it. He was like, man, these were just always so stacked, but we became buds. And he's like, and I want to throw you bones, but he's like, I always need hosts. So he's like, if you're down. Mm-hmm. So I would get, you know, they do it every Wednesday. Sometimes 3 out of the 4 in a month because he just needed a host.
And yeah.
And it was a cool, it's another great skill set to develop. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, a part of me would have some apprehensions because I was like, I'd see people that were hosting all the time. And I was like, well, I don't want to turn into like that type
it's,
of
it is easy to get boxed in.
Totally. But it was like, all right, well, like it definitely made me have to, you know, always have energy, mm-hmm. right? Which I think is not bad. And then, you know, be able to riff a little bit with the crowd.
Yeah, you got to be able to do crowd work.
And then do different shit, hopefully, every time because you are out of the gate. And it's nice to be at places where you can get a consistent run of shows because you're like, mm-hmm. oh, man, these people are seeing me a lot now. I can't be doing the same shit.
Exactly.
Right?
That's one of the hardest things. Like, are you a sit down, pen and pad at a desk, write kind of guy? Or are you more life experience, something sparks and you're like, oh, I can make this funny?
Yeah, totally. I'll, you know, wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and just write down. I used to have the books and then I lost 2 different times notebooks that were devastating.
Oh.
So now it's just all phone because I'm like.
You lost them?
Because even if I, and one of them more so than the other, but it was, they're both, you know, I was able to remember bits of things, but like, dude, it was just, yeah, it was just so awful. So mm-hmm. I was like, I just got to, even if I lose my phone, I'll never, you know, always have the email to get access. But yeah, every now and then I'll sit down and really flush stuff out. It just depends. Sometimes things will come to me even like in the back of an Uber and I'll, you know, jot down a whole paragraph of something. Sometimes it's just nuggets of something and I'm like, well, let me just play with it on stage tonight.
Yeah.
But then I'll be like, well, that's lazy. Like, so come back to that, you know, in a couple hours maybe and, mm-hmm. and think on it. Or talk it out with buddies.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've always been jealous of people like Neil Brennan who can sit down and just write for 3 hours.
Right, and just kind of have his structure and be mm-hmm. like, this is the joke, I'm going to take this, and that's what I'm going to try out.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm not a super energetic performer per se, but I'm also not like a stand and deliver just writer either. It's kind of a weird mix in between.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wish I had the confidence in both skill sets.
Yeah. So when you got going out here,
mm-hmm.
did you, you know, obviously when you're coming out with a little confidence to LA and you start kind of getting some gigs, wilding out, you said was like the first thing that kind of,
well, technically the first thing I did was I did BET's Comic View like a month after I turned 18, I was doing the Comedy Union mm-hmm. down on Pico.
You used to do it all the time.
Of course. But that's another thing, by the way, it's crazy. So many people ask me how I ended up doing so many like black clubs and shows in the mm-hmm. beginning of my career and still do. It's because black people always gave me so much more opportunity than white people did.
Wow.
It's so strange. Mm-hmm. Like they were always more apt to be like, yeah, come do my show. And just white comics weren't like that. So it's like, yeah, of course I'm going to go where I'm comfortable and where I'm wanted.
Yeah.
So I was at the Comedy Union and Amber Bickham, who everybody knows, she's incredibly sweet. She saw me there and was like, I'm booking it. Would you want to do it? And I was like, yeah. So I was the youngest person to be on the show. Got a standing ovation. My dog died the morning of the taping.
Oh
my first time
God.
Ever doing a TV
oh
thing.
Oh, my God.
I know. My first dog ever, by
you
the way.
You a big dog guy?
Yeah, yeah.
So this was a fucking
gut
punch.
Like 4 in the morning the night before the show, I'm bawling. I'm like,
fuck,
why?
Dude.
standing ovation, crush it.
You start crying thinking about your dog?
Didn't cry, but then the show got pulled before my episode aired. So that was my first taste of like, oh,
got it. Fair,
oh, they can
Hollywood.
Just do that? Well, do I get the footage? No, they own it? Awesome.
Oh,
okay,
man.
So I don't even know what it looks like.
Because you're probably in your head being like, dude, if I can at least get that clip and put it on YouTube,
yeah.
I'll fucking blow up.
Or my reps have something to send around to people or
something. Use it for something.
Yeah. But then Wild Now ended up being the first significant thing.
Did you ever find yourself, I know I did, I used to talk about this with Dion Cole about like the first time I started doing, just real urban rooms where I would find myself being like, yo, motherfuckers feeling good.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of that? Yeah.
A little bit. Primarily when I was, again, this goes with the longer story, but Gary used to own another club in Atlanta that was, it's like the most ghetto club in the country. It's called Uptown Comedy Corner.
Yeah.
He used to own that. So when I was 16 to 17, that whole summer between my junior and senior year, I went down there and I lived with him and I was working his club every single night. So in that spurt, I was just seeing like the most ghetto comics night. You do start to pick up on it.
For sure.
But then around 17, I was like, wait. I don't want to be Gary Owen, which no disrespect to him.
Totally.
I love Gary Owen, but it's like, I want to do everything. So I was like, okay, you have to break yourself of that mold.
You don't want to be getting on. Your guy's grandpa ever fuck a pocket pussy and break the neck? Your grandpa ever break the neck of the pocket pussy?
Hamburger.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, yeah. Eric Griffin will tell you, will confirm this story. One time I took a Greyhound from Ohio to open for him in Pittsburgh at the Pittsburgh Improv.
Wow.
And I had just come from Atlanta for those 4 months. And I went out to Pittsburgh at Eric's crowd and I opened with a rap music cue bit.
God.
And I had the slang and everything. And bro, I bombed, bro. I stayed in his green room like this for like 2 hours.
Yep.
I didn't watch his show. I didn't go out there and do like meet and greets after or anything. He came back in the green room and was like, that's why you don't do that.
Whoa.
He was like, do not ever pigeonhole yourself.
I mean, what you doing, man?
Yeah, bro.
I mean,
it was like I was doing the hackiest stuff that was working in these clubs. And I was like, this isn't cool.
But you know what? It's great that like, again, life works itself out where you like you know, at some point you were going to get that, you know, mirror being held up for you to go, oh man, that's like, and it took you to be there with Eric and somebody for him to like, for you to feel it. And then for somebody that you look up to give you a little bit of like, really? And then you're like, okay, that was.
Hey guys, Adam right here. Look, you know, sleep is important, right? We all do it. I think there's some stat like we sleep, you know, 50% of our lives. If you're going to sleep, don't sleep on some saggy-ass bitch mattress at night. You deserve better, okay? Sleeping is important, it's necessary, and you want to be comfy, happy, and healthy. So give yourself an upgrade. Helix Mattress is here for you, baby. This is the shit I sleep on. Been sleeping on it for years. They hooked up the About Last Night podcast, and I got to tell you, dude, it's a game changer. You've probably heard of Helix mattresses because they are the best in the biz. And if you want to get to learn more, take the Helix sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes, barely, to complete it. And when you take it, what Helix does is matches your body type and your sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Because why would you sleep on a mattress or buy one that was made for somebody else, right? They've got soft, medium, firm mattresses, even mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. I run hot. I'm always hot. You know, I wake up in the morning, I sweat in the shower. So I took the Helix sleep quiz and I was matched with the Queen mattress because I wanted something that felt soft, medium, and cooled me down at night. And guess what? I sleep on my side and my back and my stomach. I move around a lot at night. I wake up. Sometimes I get some Skittles. Sometimes I do yoga. Sometimes I just wake up to fart in the kitchen. So if you're looking for a mattress that fits your needs, take this quiz. It's easy. It takes 2 minutes tops. You order the mattress that you match to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. Not a lot of places will ship shit for free, but Helix will. They'll send it right to your door, no charge, and you don't even need to go to the mattress store again once you get it, because you'll be like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted, and it is crushing the sleep game. So go to helixsleep.com/about, take the 2 minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I've been getting it, and you should be getting it too, because you only get one life and you should sleep the right way. They have a 10-year warranty, by the way. So if you get the mattress okay, and you don't like it, well, guess what? You get 100 nights risk-free. And if you don't like it, like I said, they'll pick it up from you if you don't like it. But I know you're going to, because I did, and it's the best shit out there. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for my ALN listeners at helixsleep.com/about. That's helixsleep.com/about for up to $200 off and two free pillows. So do it right now. Feel better, sleep better, live better. I love you. And now back to the episode.
And it's interesting because now I'll still have people now be like, you talk black on stage, which is already like a ridiculous thing to say to anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason I was so comfortable in black rooms and why I probably picked that whatever you want to call it, up, that the voice up or whatever you want to call it, the accent or whatever, is because I am incredibly comfortable around that. And ever since I was in kindergarten, my best friends have been black.
Oh, cool.
So there was a truth to that for me, but I was leaning on it too hard. I was like, this is where the funny is coming from.
Yeah.
Versus now, if I have a certain twang to my voice or I talk about a certain subject, it's because it's really me.
Right.
Rather than like, oh, I'm pandering.
You and Paul, is it Ilya or Elia?
He changes it. You know what?
Paul, pick a fucking lane.
It was Ilya until D'Elia got in trouble, and now I swear to God, he changed it because he doesn't want it to sound like D'Elia. Oh, so I think now it's Elia.
Elia.
Okay. Yeah.
You guys, and I remember seeing even like the write up you got on Deadline, which was so cool.
Oh, thank you, man.
So when COVID hit, I don't know how, were you like, I'm going to take a break creatively? Or I'm always curious for how long did people sit back and go, I'm going to enjoy this time off where I'm not required to be anywhere or do anything. But then how long does that last for before you're kind of starting to go stir crazy and you're like, I got to figure out a way to get around this? And then, because you guys end up creating a real popular show in LA and really one of the first ones. Maybe the first one.
It was the first one.
Okay, cool.
Which was one of the parts that played into it. Yeah, I went from beginning of March to beginning of July without performing at all. And spiral of events, I started having panic attacks and going through therapy, I realized it was because of lack of performance. My therapist was like, you've been performing for 9 years at this point, on average, once a week for the past 9 years? Mm-hmm. And performance is such an exertion of mental and physical energy.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you're talking about or what you're doing, you do have an outlet for energy. And he's like, you don't have that. So now it's just kind of this energy is kind of festering inside of you. So I started having panic attacks, which I'd never had. Started having really bad anxiety, which
I'd never.
How'd you deal with that? I had to start performing. So we literally fixed it. I still have it a little bit, but like overnight, it was no longer like debilitating.
Whoa.
So when I was taking out my trash and we had this big backyard, this back parking lot area where like a couple cars parked, and I called Paul and I FaceTimed and showed him the space. I was like, yo, we could put people back here. He was like, can we do that? I was like, dude, I saw what Chappelle was doing in Ohio. Michael Che had put on this big outdoor show in a truck in New York. And I was like, This is Los Angeles. This is the entertainment capital of the world, and nobody is putting on a stand-up comedy show.
By the way, I love that you again got inspired from your favorite comic.
Yeah.
Like seeing what Chappelle, like, how great is that?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Another full circle, like, wow, like, look what he, like, just to get the idea of like, wow, like, my guy.
Yeah.
Found a way to get around it. Mm-hmm. So, like.
And thanks to him doing that, I was able to find my own thing.
And so you guys created the show that's in the, so we'll probably go a few over, cool. And then we'll just cut marks, the next one short.
Yeah, great. Tell them to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. So the show was in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, on paper, you're like, huh? But guess what? Especially during a pandemic, you're like, I don't care if it was in the back of a homeless guy fucking eating out another homeless guy. Like, truly, if it was like in front of them or behind them, like whatever, the obstacle was.
Yeah.
It was like, I want to, and the outdoorness was appealing, and being in a place, LA, where like, you know, that's a favorable element.
Yeah.
And then you guys just started, did you feel, because, you know, you've had every great comic come through. Did it, was it right away bangers like that where people were like, yes, I want to do it?
Yeah, we had like the first show, we had Taylor Tomlinson, Sam Morrell was in town. Mm-hmm. We had, it was James Davis, I think Yasser Lester as well. Like people who I was already friends with and then people I was kind of friends with, but like I was a fan of their comedy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that definitely is to me one of the biggest perks of the relationships I've been able to build through that. People who were like knew who I was but hadn't seen me on stage and didn't know to like what professional ability should we really be have a relationship, you know, because everybody does come. Yes. You see people around that you're like, I don't really need to know you, really.
Dude, 1,000%. Getting the respect from your peers and having people see you in your element and then being like just having that respect is huge. And getting to chum people up like that. And then also you're providing truly like at that time the only spot. Yeah. So that's it. So
and I knew how much I needed it. Yeah. So it's like imagine how much they needed as well.
Yeah. That's so dope, dude. Yeah, then you had that great write-up, and the show's still jamming.
Heck yeah, dude. 32 shows since last July.
And you guys went to San Diego and did a few.
We've done 5 in San Diego. We've started to branch out with it more.
It's a lot of work.
We've gone from the back of my apartment complex to the venue you did, and now we've upgraded to 180-seater.
Cool.
You had
all the safe protocols, which is cool. You guys just
safe as it could be. Yeah, masks have always been required. Temperature checks, masks on. Now we're a little bit more lenient. If you show your vaccine card, you don't have to keep your mask on. It's fine.
And how much into that, into doing the show and having it get successful and getting some like. You know, just momentum and confidence did then the special because you're getting ready to shoot the first special.
Yeah.
Which is great. Did you always think 10 years in, that's when I want to do it or what?
No, I was incredibly unlucky to hear Gerard Carmichael say he did his first special 8 years in. So I'd always thought 8 is when you're supposed to do it, not realizing Gerard's a freak of nature and brilliance.
Yes.
So, I mean, I wanted to film one last year, so it would have been 9 years in. But again, the way life works out, I'd say of the hour, a good 45 minutes of that is all post-pandemic writing new material that I like way better than what I was doing before.
Wow.
So it's like, it's probably better that I'm putting out the stuff now.
I think everyone says that where they're like, I'm glad I, you know, or looks back and says, God, I wish I would have maybe, because I've added to that bit or I've just gotten better. You know, you're always... I think hindsight's 2020. You're always going to look back and be like, man, I, you know, should have even like waited another whatever. But like when you're ready, you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I'm excited, man. It's finally a set that I'm proud of. It finally has some actual, it's not just funny. It's my perspective on some things that are very important to me, some silly stuff. I feel like it's a great introduction piece to me as a stand-up.
It's what it should be.
Thank you.
What's the title? Do you know?
I'm leaning towards, if we get it out in time, only if it's relevant enough to make it work, I want to call it OnlyFans, Matt Rife OnlyFans, purely for the marketing alone.
Amazing.
Because I'm shooting it, if it's not at the one venue I mentioned, then the second venue, we're going to do it in the round where it's all people surrounding me, very intimate, low ceiling place. So it's like, even the background is just fans. We did the GoFundMe for it, which you helped out with so much.
Yeah, man.
So it's like, it's funded by the fans and people are... I get 20 messages a day being like, what's your OnlyFans? Do you have an OnlyFans? So now if I hashtag Matt Rife OnlyFans or whenever somebody Googles Matt Rife OnlyFans, that's going to come up.
Wait, people ask you 20 messages a day, just straight up looking at your pictures and then go, what's your OnlyFans?
Yeah.
From gals and guys?
Yeah. Mostly guys.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I'm like, the marketing for that is,
now,
is
what
great.
Is, that's brilliant, by the way. Thank you. For sure. Because then, if people are already... Now, I just start talking about OnlyFans in my act. Because it is fascinating to me and just had some funny interactions with people in the crowd when I like do this bit. I asked this one guy because I'm like, it definitely made me look in the mirror and be like, dude, how come much can I get from my calves?
Yeah.
You know? And I asked this guy, I was like, what would you put on OnlyFans to make some cash? He's like, probably my Dallas Cowboys jersey. And I was like, oh, you think it's a sports memorabilia? Yeah. So that was a whole fucking, it was a very adorable just... approach to it.
He thought it was a memorabilia.
So I was like, dude,
jersey.
You got to sex it up a bit. He's like, what if I pee on it? I was like, there we go. That's at least $90 to $95.
That's hilarious. Yeah, yeah.
But it just, but I do know people that are on there cashing in.
Bro, I know ugly girls who are cashing out and I'm like, wow.
Paying their rent and then some. So what, but you're not on it.
I'm not on it, dude.
Do
which
you
ever
think?
Yeah, because, dude, I've sent many dick pics that's like, hilarious. As soon as I'm famous, someone's going to leak it for free. Someone's going to.
And that was
going
to be my last question. If you ever, by the way, if you ever were on, we're going to do a 10 question inside the Actors Studio to close this out.
Perfect.
But how many dick pics? And how many is too many? That face
how many of
is
us?
A lot.
Yeah, man.
Now, maybe for the viewers, because you are the guy, I think, to really break it down for the guys out there that are like,
look,
what's the best
thing? Dude, my friends are asking me the same thing because, oh, dude, this is so going to get me canceled. That's so annoying.
Well, but we don't have to get
into
it.
First of all, I've never sent a dick pic that's like, I don't want to say unwanted, but like fucking read the room.
Totally.
Don't just be like, hey, here's my dick.
Well, don't open
that.
With, for sure. That goes without saying. It's
yeah,
not
don't
like
open with it. Have an
like,
established
hey,
rapport.
Like, it was great to meet you at the club tonight. Here's my wiener.
Yeah.
Like,
well, don't get me wrong. I've sent them pretty early. Like I've sent them day of, but like it's wow. It's because like not, sometimes it's immediately apparent what this is going to be.
Great.
And if that's established, if you're already sexting each other, then it's like, hey,
oh, yeah,
maybe
yeah.
we cut to the chase.
Totally.
Yeah. But I can confidently say nobody has ever been like,
great.
I wish you didn't send me that.
Great.
Or like, please, I'm not comfortable.
You read the room well.
Yeah. It's, which is crazy to think how many people can't fucking
I
do
know.
That.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll send them pretty pretty early.
That's was it. So early as in now, will you take it early or is it like you've taken it the night before in preparation for a 7 a.m. takeoff?
This is going to ruin it. Some of
you
them are stock.
Way, don't
some of them are stock. You ever take a good one and you're like, that'll get me through like the next 6 months?
I think I've taken two.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Bro.
Yeah, I know.
Stop dick shaming yourself, man.
Yeah, and I'm not fucking
get a good,
you know,
like,
bashful, but yeah.
I
think that's
angle.
What it was. I think it was like, you know, that maybe the light or the angle that I was like, dude, what am I doing,
well,
man?
Look,
who
dicks
wants?
Are, they're just fucking ugly.
I know.
You know
I
what
think
I mean?
That's the thing. I think I was just like, dude, why? I wouldn't want to fucking, you know, so why would?
But I think it's just like, I think that's an ego train that's easy to hop on. It's like you get a couple of good reactions to where you're like, oh, maybe people do like this.
Right.
Or you get the girl who's like, I usually don't like when guys send that, but yours is like, oh, it sealed the deal for me.
Whoa.
Now I'm interested. You're like, well, shit, maybe this is the key. God,
so you could do that
I'm
on
sorry.
OnlyFans. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, mom. So there's probably a market for that on OnlyFans.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I cash out on it first or do I let it just be out there?
No, I think you let maybe try your luck at the craft of comedy first, and if that doesn't go according to plan, it's always OnlyFans ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, part of me is like, yeah, you don't want to do that because you don't want to diminish who you are as an artist and as a performer and everything you've built.
But also,
like,
fuck, man, if there's money on the table,
yeah, who knows what exec might see it and be like, well, he would make a good Spider-Man.
Hilarious.
Interesting.
Hilarious. He would make a good Spider-Man from one nutshot.
Yeah.
Okay, so the spot you're gonna shoot it what?
August 6th and 7th.
Wow. Two shows.
Two shows. No, I'm sorry. No. We're going to do 3 to 4 shows.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But it's like I've never headlined in LA. I've done like the outskirts of Orange County and stuff like that. But especially for such an important event where it's like I need to pack this out.
Yes.
It's nerve wracking. Like,
yes.
What if people don't come to my fucking special, dude? It's scary.
And you said you're going to fly your grandpa out. I'm going to pull up our last 10 questions here.
I'm going to fly my grandpa. I'm going to try to fly my mom out as well. If I had to choose one, I'll probably fly my grandpa. My mom's been to way more of my stuff. My grandpa didn't get to see me perform last Christmas in Ohio because he had a cough, not COVID, but a really bad cough. So he couldn't, he was like really bummed. He couldn't go see my shows.
Yeah. He'll be fired up to come out.
Yeah. I think so too.
All right. Inside the Actor Studio, James Lipton, RIP. And no doubt you would have been on that show at some point. So
let's
knock it out now with the 10 question questionnaire. Matt Rife.
Yep.
What is your favorite word?
My favorite word?
Yes.
Fuck. I say it a lot.
Are you more of a hard F guy or a CK guy?
I think I'm an elongated you fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, bro, it just feels good to get
it
out.
It does. A properly placed fuck does a lot.
It
of good.
Says a lot.
Yeah. When kids can properly use fuck, hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. A well-timed fuck from a child.
Dude, hilarious.
Not that is not how it could have sounded. Not no, I mean a child using the
using
word fuck
word,
at
yes,
an appropriate
dude, I think people picked up on that, dude. Yeah.
You never know
That's
anymore,
at Matt
dude.
Rife on Twitter. Yeah. No, it dude, my buddy told me his kid said, "Mom, can I curse?" 4 years old, and she was like, "Yeah." And she goes, "I fucking love Target."
That seems
like,
totally appropriate.
Nothing, not only did you ask permission,
use
you
it correctly.
You use it correctly, and you're like this. You're talking about something that I also fucking love.
Yeah, brilliant.
Matt Rife, what is your least favorite word?
Least favorite word? Canceled.
What turns you on?
Ooh, like physically or as a person, like overall.
It's your choice.
Oh, what turns me on? Sense of humor.
What turns you off?
Lack of sense of humor.
Great. Great answer. What is your favorite curse word other than fuck?
God damn it. I know it's taking the Lord's name in vain.
You
know
what, though? It's classic, though. And it's a real, when people throw out the GD, it's, you can tell there's true frustration
there. Yeah, and I feel like he'd get it, you know?
He gets it. He probably says it. He came up with
it.
Yeah. What sound of noise do you love?
Sound of noise?
Sound That's, or noise.
Sound or noise. Rain.
Ooh.
Love rain.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle is...
I'm going there this week. I'm going there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pump that out for you.
Thank it's you,
have you been there before?
No. Nate Jackson's new club.
Oh, dope, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
I want to move to Oregon or Washington eventually. I love
the
Pacific
shit,
Northwest.
Dude, and you would clean house.
Yes, good to know.
Your nickname will be the maid up there. You'll be just fucking getting so much. All right. What noise or sound do you hate?
Noise or sound. My roommate drinks loudly. Like the people who go.
Oh.
To everything
the
they drink. Bro, I can hear it across the apartment.
Didgeridoo? What is that? So,
I don't know, man. I'm like, dude, just sip on it. You don't have to deep throat the entire gallon. It's horrible, bro.
No, that's... Yeah, there's no reason for the giant gulps.
Oh, absolutely.
Unless you have some sort of esophageal...
I'll take a fart or a queef over a gulp any day.
Isolate that audio. Send it to me. Reach out. That's my new email alert. Matt Reif saying I'll take a fart or a queef over a gulp any day. All right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Sports. I love boxing.
Great.
But you got to come sometime, dude. I love it.
I would love to come train like that.
Dude,
I've seen
so much fun.
And when I see people post those videos, I'm like, dude, it's never – people that put that shit up, it's never like you can't – like, I mean, dude, when I'm watching you like spar –
I don't post me sparring.
I've seen video of you fucking doing like...
That's just mitt work stuff. That's just like, it's just fun cardio, finding numbers and timing stuff. That's nothing.
Yeah, it looks
like,
legit.
That's the thing. It looks good.
Yeah.
But you still get people on the internet who's like, everybody can do mitt work, but can you spar? Yes,
oh, really?
I spar, but the whole point of me not posting is you thinking I can't fight.
Hell
so
yeah.
Fucking try me.
All right,
fine.
I'll come through. What profession would you not like to do?
Anything in an office.
Yeah.
Lose my mind. Need to be doing something.
Yep. If heaven exists, Matt Reif, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Yo, that shit was crazy, wasn't it? Oh my God. I used to have this bit about, we can edit it if we think it's too controversial. I used to have this bit about like, what if God is nothing like how you think he is?
Yeah.
Like everything that happens in the world, we'd go, well then why would God create this?
Yeah, yeah.
I used to think it would be very funny if like, what if you got to heaven, the first thing God says is like, hey man, what's up with all that gay shit? Like, what if he was just I made vaginas so dope and y'all fucking butts? Like, like, bro, I made them stink. Like,
oh,
you know?
My God, I made them stink. What
it's, not
hom-
it's not homophobic. I love
no,
gay people. It is. You
funny.
Are supposed to be gay
that's
if you're gay. But
it's
just funny to think if it was that big of a turn.
That's so funny, dude. Or an alt that God could say, you know, Matt, I also would take a fart or a queef over and you're like, that's what's up, God. And then he gives you your BET tape from the Comedy Union. And he goes, you want to watch it together?
Oh, bro. If he had it,
he's got it. He's got it.
No, the devil has that for sure. For sure.
Where are you on Instagram and Twitter?
At Matt Reif? Everything just at Matt Reif.
I don't know if we'll put this out. We might put this out sooner than later and then just really pump some clips out before the special drops.
Dude, I'm all for it, man. Whenever. I'm so happy we made this happen. Dude, I've been wanting to do this podcast
since you did
with Brad, dude.
Oh, hilarious, dude. Well, Brad's under the table if you want to say what's up.
Oh, I know. I feel
him. Yeah. You're the man. Thanks for doing this. Congrats.
Love you, man. Thank you so much, dude.
All right.